my mic was, and I didn't hear a change. For me, really, the surgeries and all that has not been, I mean, they weren't fun, but it's not, you know, the biggest change in my life has been life without my dad. Not only is my dad, but he's the one that brought me to the Lord, so it's just kind of, you know, it's really hard. It's hard to see my mom alone. That's, I guess, the hardest thing. And the other change that there is the last 2 months is that Michael's leaving and going to work in Toluca with Billy and them. And that's not easy either. I mean, it's the Lord's been really good to let us work with him and with Kelly and Marco. And I know that's something not everybody gets to do, so I know that we've been blessed to get to do that. And but it is hard, you know, to see him leave because it makes it kind of uncertain what's going to happen next. But we do pray that the Lord will bless them and that while we stay in Kedah, there will be a blessing to the church there. But with those changes, I've been thanking a lot for quite a while. And then with these things that came up more and more, the thought came to me about the choices that we have to make. And my dad was always telling me, my mom, Mama Kay, different people that have been a really influence in my life, you know, that it's, everything's a matter of choice. You know, everything in life, your life is full of choices. There's no way you can get away from it. It's just full of choices from the time you're little, and it just keeps going. Of course, the choices get harder. But I've been thinking a lot about that. And, you know, what choice? During this time, it's been real hard for me to be full of praise, or at least even a little bit of praise. It's just been really hard, you know. I can't seem to quite grasp yet that my dad's gone. And then Michael tells us, well, we're not leaving Querétaro yet, or no, we're not going to Pachuca yet, is how he put it. And I said, oh, you're going to stay here longer. And then, well, no. And, you know, so that was quite a, you wait till I was eating tacos to tell me, you know. But that was kind of a, you know, it was a shock. But, you know, all these, I keep thinking, I have a choice here. I have a choice. You know, I can do what I've been taught, not only by my parents, which, you know, I've seen my mom over and over and over, make hard choices and, you know, make the right decisions. And because they did, we had a very good home life. We had good examples. If I'm not what I should be, it's not because of lack of example. And I kept telling myself over and over, you know, you're not doing it. You're not taking a choice of praise. You're not taking a choice of prayer. You're not making the right choices. And in my life, I mean, some as a teenager and even as a mom and wife, I haven't always made the right choices. And I was just thinking on that, you know, today. And over the last few months, I've been thinking a lot about it. And I've been thinking somehow, I guess the time it hit me the most was the day that they did that biopsy on my dad, and they told us what it was. And when we went back in the room, he was his happy self, and he just looked at us and he said, "So what did the doctor say?" You know, and Mama had to tell him. And I guess I'd always seen my dad just praise the Lord about anything, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. And I just took it for granted. And that day, he swallowed really hard. I saw him actually swallow. Mm-hmm. Tears came out of his eyes. And it hit me, you know, he's no different than I am. He really is no different. He doesn't want to die. He doesn't want to lose the tumor. He's no different. I expected him to say, praise the Lord, right away. He didn't. And that's when it hit me. He made the choice. He's made a choice. Every time he's done it, you know, I haven't seen him, seen the hard time he had doing it. This time I saw it. And it hit me. He's no different. Neither, you know, there's some, and I don't want to name names. I don't want to, you know, embarrassed or put on spot anybody, but there's many, mainly men here, I don't know, that have been a real blessing to me. I've seen them make choices during such hard times in their life. And, you know, they're no different. I keep thinking, well, they're just so spiritual. God's just giving them this extra, you know. And like my mom, my mom is doing so well, you know, I keep thinking, well, the Lord's just giving them this extra. You know, he just knows I can't. You know, he knows I'm going to fall apart, so he knows to just kind of leave me alone. But, you know, the truth is they're no different. They just made a choice. They just consciously made a choice. And some of these men, I mean, they've been through really hard times. Some of them at the beginning of their life, like Billy, Michael, these different ones that surrendered very young. I don't think it was any easier for them than it is for, you know, any of you guys that are out preaching, Josh and Corey and them. they, you know, they were young men. They wanted to do the things that, all these guys want to do, but they made choices. And I was thinking about that this morning and last night, and I was thinking, but look at their lives, you know? And one of the things my dad said when he prayed after that, he said, I thank you, I have no regrets. And that has stayed with me so much. And I kept thinking, why can't I say that? Why can't I honestly say that? And I knew when Daddy said it, I knew that it wasn't like, you know, may God strike me down if I'm lying. You know, I knew he was, he could say that sincerely. And I think anyone who knew him knew that he was, you know, he was speaking the truth. And I thought, why can't I say that? You know, why can't others say that? And it's because we don't make the right choices, you know? And I was thinking of the young men that have surrendered. You know, Billy, Michael, like I said, Brent, these different ones. I know that they haven't always probably made the right choices as parents, you know, as husbands. But one choice they made has made a difference in many lives. Like they were saying, and look at the Bajio. Go down there and look at the churches. Go meet some of the people. And, you know, it's choices that like that, like Joy said, that have eternal, you know, something eternal. And I was thinking about the Lord, you know. It hit me. I was thinking of choices, and I thought, someone who had nothing to pay. There's a song a long time ago we heard, I owed a debt I could not pay. He paid a debt he did not owe. Something like that. And it hits me over and over, and I'm thinking, you know, Billy said something about someone significant. Someone significant chose to die for me. He chose to give his life for me. You know, and yet, like Joey said, we come up with all these excuses, and I do. You know, well, the Lord understands. You know, I'm just really frail. You know, I can't quite make the choice to go on right now. But, you know, he does want us to make these choices. There's a race to be run. And one of the, you know, I use my dad a lot. I mean, it's very fresh. But, you know, one of the things he said was, my son is thinking he's fast. My race is almost done. You know, and I got to thinking, my dad's race is run. He finished. And it's because he made some choices that he could really say, I finished the race. Yeah. And I do think the Lord said, well done.
Amen.
But, you know, I keep thinking, I have a race to run. You know, I can't hang on to his coattails. You know, I can't. I've got my own choices to make. And it's not a lack of, not only of example, but we have the ones that we've seen just here in this church, the elders that have gone through some hard times and making choices, still making them every day. And so, you know, how can we not make choices? I mean, especially I think of my choices are so little compared to ones I see others making. They're really not that much. And if they can do it, so can I. Because we have the same powerful God that gives us strength, and he, you know.
Amen.
But I do know that it's not like he's gonna make me make them. I have to do it. One of the verses I was thinking of is Psalm 78. It's sort of scary to me that, you know, when people like my dad are gone now, and then you think, you know, it won't be long until some of these other older saints that are examples to us, that are trying to teach us this stuff. And I do look back and I think, I didn't learn as much as I could have. I didn't. And yet, you know, what are we doing to get to our kids? And it says here, I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he has done. And I was just thinking, oh, I know I can say my parents did to me, and some of you can say the same thing, but are we doing that to our children? For the generations to come, it's just so that the generation to come, the praises of the Lord and his strength. And of course, there's verses all through saying the marvelous works which he's done and all the things he's done. How are they going to know him unless we tell them? And more I see, you know, it's not like it was. I mean, we aren't having the impact on the younger generation. And the only reason is we're not telling them. We're not living it. I'm not making those choices. And then it says on number 6, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. And it's not just telling them, I know that, it's living it, you know.
Right.
And it's been said so much, you know, we have to back it up by how we live, back it up by the choices I make. And then I thought of the saints that are gone. I mean, we have those, we still have Brother Linda, we still have Miss Kincaid, we still have, you know, some of the saints that are trying, you know, but we've still got ours to do. And some of the things I was thinking was, you know, how will I run? You know, will I finish my race? Will I finish my course? And how will I choose? You know, will I choose to praise? Will I choose to pray? You know, even though I'm on the mission field, and that is my shame, I don't always choose to praise. I don't choose always to pray faithfully for the other missionaries. I don't choose always to speak of the Lord. And like Joe said, oh, I can come up with lots of excuses, you know, but it comes down to I'm not choosing. I'm not making the right choices. And it concerns me for the young people, you know, because there's the world is out there and it's trying to grab them. It is. And I thought of a verse today from my own life where it says, you know, that he's seeking whom he may devour. And then it hit me. Sometimes he doesn't have to look very hard, at least for me. And I'm not talking about any of you, but for me, he doesn't have to look very hard. When I'm not making the right choices, when I'm not in his word, I'm right there ready to eat, ready to just get eaten up.
That's right.
And, you know, how do I expect in the young people to be indifferent? And it says in Deuteronomy 30, 19 and 20, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life, and the length of thy days. And, you know, it's choose life or death, and that really is what it is, you know, it's the choices we have to make, even as a Christian. I mean, even though we have eternal life, there's still every day to choose whether to go on or not, to choose, to praise, in Nehemiah 4, this morning, Brian kind of stole my verses, but it says in 4:6, so built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together until the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. And then again in 6:16, it says, and it came to pass that when all our enemies heard thereof, and all the heathen that were about us saw these things, they were much cast down in their own eyes, for they perceived that this work was wrought of our God. And, you know, had a mind to work, that's choice. It involves choice. You know, those that go out preaching, and especially you young people, I have a son who decided to do that very young, and I see his life. I see the choices he made and the blessing how God has used him. And I encourage you, you know, keep going. You can maybe one day say, I thank you, I have no regrets. And not many people can say that. But, it all comes down to, it says, that they perceive that this work was wrought of God. It's also that the Lord gets the glory, you know, not us. And that's why they can say, you know, what a great missionary, what great work they did. It's also that God gets the glory.
Amen.
And that is what, you know, I do want to run the race. I mean, he redeemed me. He bought me.
Thank you, Lord.
And he did it for a reason. He didn't do it so that I would, you know, choose then death, so that I would choose then discouragement. He did it so I would choose life, so I would choose to praise him.
Amen.
And that is what he deserves, and it's what he wants. And I just pray that I ask that y'all would pray for me that I would make the right choices. I have a little one. I'm starting all over, and it's heavy on me that I. Whatever's happened, you know, with my other kids, it's like they say, you know, there's not a whole lot you can do except go on. But I have another little one to start over with. And she is in my hands. And it is, you know, up to me to try to teach her also to choose right and to choose to serve and fear the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.